Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of Life Center style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Hey, happy holidays to everybody. We want to welcome you to the Transformation Holiday Bouquet, and Holiday Cafe. I always do that. My name is Robin Sebs. I'm one of the regular diners here at the cafe. We got a couple lovely ladies scooting up to the table tonight. We're going to talk about the holidays in kind of a different way tonight. So, Ms. Marvine, how are you tonight?
I'm good, thank you. I'm doing really well, thank
good.
You.
And we are so glad to have you join us again. I am great. Thanks for asking. We haven't had you on for a little while, so I'm glad that you could go on into the cafe and see what we're chatting about tonight. So that's just wonderful to have you here. And Ms. Gloria, how are you tonight?
I am just doing wonderfully well. I'm so excited and ready for the holidays.
Yeah, and she's been a busy girl. We kind of were sharing a little bit before we got live here about just all the hecticness that's going on with the holidays. Marvine has as well. You girls are just like me. We're just like, there's not enough hours in the day. It was so interesting how we just have so many activities right around the holidays to get everything done. But somehow it just magically gets done, and by the time we get to Christmas, we're like, whew, glad that's over.
I've decided they need to invent longer days.
Say it again.
I've decided that they need to invent longer days.
They need to invent longer days?
Yes.
How is that possible?
So that
how is that possible to invent a longer day?
That's just it. Until somebody invents it, nobody knows how they'll do it.
I know. That's kind of an interesting. That seems like a whole show unto itself.
Do
some scientific research on that one. Yeah.
Goes into.
Well, they probably would call it, instead of a minute, they would call it something else that would seem longer. How about that?
I don't care.
The measurement of time would be different, but it would be the same amount of time. It would just be measured differently, I would think.
No.
I don't know.
No, it should be longer.
Okay.
You can call it
Okay. I was asking Ms. Marvine. Marvine has some of the most wonderful informational books around her place. And every time I go to visit her, I wind up finding some information out that just is always so fascinating with me. So I asked her if she would kind of lead the topic tonight, because we were going to talk about some things like, you know, some things about the holidays you just didn't know the amount of detail or some particular things. So we kind of started talking this morning about Santa Claus, and she has some neat things to share about Santa. So, Marvine, what do you want to share about Santa?
I think one of the interesting thing is he's one of the most enduring global personifications in the holiday season from all areas of the world. And what's really interesting, and of course way back when communications didn't exist the way they do today, and what's interesting is even the way he was pictured in different ways was fairly consistent. And a lot of the recorded stuff started around 200 A.D., and St. Nicholas was one of the first recorded things. And he was canonized as a saint in the 9th century, but they think it would have happened before. But the Catholic Church did not canonize up to that point in time.
So now, tell me what canonizing means. What does canonizing mean?
It means when basically what it is process the Church goes through, and if certain criteria is met, then someone is qualified to be a saint.
Okay.
And, I mean, that would be a whole other story and a whole other research just in on that.
Yeah, if that's going to be a few, that would be a long cafe show.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is one of the first recognizes was a St. Nicholas Bishop of Myra, and there mm-hmm. was an old legend that was talking about a man named Nicholas who was praying on a ship that was in trouble, and he asked God to, you know, make the storm go away, and mm-hmm. and the storm went away. And so what happened is, through some kind of a message from God, a vision or something, elders had been ordered to select the first man named Nicholas after a certain time and a certain hour, and I believe it was on the 6th of December. And and so he walked in, you know, pretty much wasted from being almost shipwrecked and the strain of that, and they elected him bishop. And one of the things that was interesting about it, and I think this kind of goes under, because due to, you know, religion and all kinds of other things, the holidays have been kind of combined. But one of the things that he was given credit for, and there was one story of, and it was when he was young, was one of the first stories that was recognized. There were three girls whose father didn't have money anymore, and there was, and they needed to have dowries in order to marry, and mm-hmm. they couldn't afford to do that. So between the three girls, they did some kind of they drew straws or whatever, and one girl agreed to be sold as a slave in order to provide the dowry for the other two. And mm-hmm. mysteriously, sometime during the night, in each girl's room was a bag of gold that appeared. And they
in their stocking?
No, in their rooms.
Oh.
This is way before any of the... Now, see, the stocking tradition would probably be another one, but, you know, I didn't go that far. But just in dealing with...
Interesting how maybe they think the stocking got started because of that story, you know?
Well, and that's a good possibility, but it has changed so many times from 200 A.D. to now, and the forms have uh-huh. changed. But the overall attributes to St. Nicholas was the fact that he went out and did things kind of anonymously for people who could not afford even to feed their families, or just did basic good deeds without recognition or anything else. That's was not what he was interested in. He was more interested in the overall caring, which is really what Christmas represents, and I think in a lot of respects, because these little gifts would be, and in many cases it was something as simple as like fruits and nuts and things like that, which were like delicacies to people that didn't have money back then.
Yeah, exactly. You're just like, you never, you know, like a candy cane back then, you know, you maybe you're lucky if you had just a piece of a candy cane, let alone, you know,
well, exactly.
a bunch of that. Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the, and that was where the recorded histories of at least St. Nicholas. And what's really interesting, there are several others. There was another one. He was kind of look at there's I have some interesting pictures of some of the old Santa Clauses too, but there was another one called Black Peter, and that was during the Middle Ages, and he was kind of the antithesis of Christmas, and he found his way into Christmas, you know, folklore or history in Holland. And that was another one that started to only in this case it was where you know,
didn't he originate in Sweden?
Pardon me?
Didn't he originate in Sweden? I know you said he was found in Holland, but I thought I heard that he originated in Sweden and then migrated. What do you know about that?
No, actually, St. Nicholas in the 200 A.D. Was
no, Black,
elected.
Black Nicholas.
Oh, Black Nicholas. Well, that was in the 9th century.
Yeah, but I thought he started in Sweden and then migrated.
Not according to what I've got, but then, again, a lot of these touch, and I didn't have time to dig into a lot of my Christmas books. But according to a lot of the legends, again, he was just another offshoot. And eventually started making sure that, you know, again, only this one was the one where it started to, the good children got gifts and bad children didn't. And that was around... I don't remember the timing, but it was, he found his way into Christmas folklore in Holland. So,
Okay.
and the hard part with some of these is the fact that because of communications and or the lack thereof, a lot of these things were just passed on by word of mouth for generations up until the 200 A.D.
I was curious on the name for Nicholas, and it says that in Greek the meaning of the name Nicholas means people's victory. So St. Nicholas is the patron saint of children and sailors.
Right. And there are two others.
Yeah, you were talking about that. There are two others? What else are there?
Actually, there are several.
Uh-huh.
And that's what's interesting about it. And again, the way it's described is because of the merging of the different religions and the and some of the pagan beliefs. And what a lot of those were merged prior to the 5th century, I believe. But the overall, the origin and the legend has to do with taking care of other people and kindnesses. And the reason that he was nominated a saint, canonized, was because of all of the good deeds that he reportedly had done, and people reported it to other people.
I think
another thing that's really interesting is if you take a look at it, the Buddhists, the Jews, many other countries acknowledge very similar time frames when they start talking about their holy days.
In Buddhism, is there some kind of a character that's similar to Santa Claus?
Buddhism, no, there's one similar to the Christ, but in Buddhism there is, in all of the various countries, and I think, you know, to really dig into this, because you didn't give me a lot of warning, but to dig into this, it would take quite a bit of research to really, to dig in deep enough to figure out what the real common threads are, but they seem to be basically making sure that people had clothing and food and kindnesses. In a couple of other areas, it was a time for reflection and creating dreams or projecting what they wanted for the new years, because they were given a time. Normally, in the winter, it's a slower productive time in some areas, but it's very productive mentally and emotionally in others.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, because it's a sense of dormancy, but yet there's a lot going on in, underneath. It's like when
I think that it's Gloria, it's interesting, and I'll take a look at the, because I know Sweden also, you know, plays a big part with, you know, Santa Claus, but I don't remember if they really called, St. Nicholas was the first one.
There was one country that I heard about, and I don't remember which one it was, where Santa Claus was never a good thing, but to escape him was the important thing. It was like all he would ever do was cause pain if he came and showed up at your door. You didn't want him to come to your house. And
right.
I don't
what?
Remember.
Yeah, I think
remember.
That's... I think
was,
you didn't want Santa to come to your house?
Wasn't it Italy? I don't remember what country.
Yeah, no,
it was.
I believe that it was, and I think it might have been Black Peter, because there was that a legend existed that Saint Nicholas put the devil in chains and made him his slave. Each Saint Nicholas Day, it was believed that the devil himself was working under orders from Saint Nick. The good saint would direct Black Peter to drop gifts and candy down the chimneys into the children's shoes, which were always there on St. Nicholas Eve. And so Black Peter was the one that seemed to have been naughty, and then St. Nicholas came in and kind of made him turn his ways around. And
so
just,
he was like,
and,
he was the one who got the coal, huh? He got the black coal.
I think that was too early for the coal. I think at that point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't know about coal yet at that time.
I don't know
if they did it.
That seems like it would be more Victorian to do the coal thing, right?
No, the Victorian.
They were heating everything by coal.
I have a picture of the Victorian Santa Claus here, too. Wait a minute. There's Russia. Here's the Victorian Santa Claus. Surprisingly, the old English Santa Claus of the Victorian age had less of an origin in St. Nicholas as it did on the continent. In England, Santa Claus was a composite embodying the elements and spirit of Christmas, as well as the spirits of several pre-Christian legends.
Ooh.
And they used to call him Father Christmas.
Yeah, I've heard of Father
Christmas.
It's
really interesting, but and the hard part is when you start reading it, you want to keep finding out more.
Well, I mean, the current day American version of Santa Claus was basically created by like Coca-Cola, right? Way back when.
The Coca-Cola Santa Claus, I have information on that one too, and actually he's referred to as the soda pop Santa. And
right.
I'm just going to read it to you because I didn't study this one. And it says, an added touch to the image of Santa Claus was created in the 1920s during Prohibition. This novelty came not from religion or from poetic inspiration, but from the world of advertising. The advancement of color reproduction allowed Santa to step from the old black and white into the brilliant world of color. Now his red suit could really shine and his rosy cheeks could really glow. During the Christmas season, his image was full-blown on billboards across the nation. The famous soft drink ad created by Haddon Sundblom not only added color but size. Gone but not entirely forgotten was the jolly old elf of yesterday. He now has a larger proportion to match the baritone of his ho-ho-ho. And that's and again, that was in, I think, the late 1800s. Or it was 1920 when that one came out.
Okay, so Santa wasn't a hefty dude until he basically, you know, became the soda pop Santa.
Well, the soda pop Santa, but there were changes in him through the centuries. I've got Kris Kringle here, and that's another one that most of us, and that was the Dutch, who had long held the notion that St. Nicholas and his devilish slave Black Peter bound from house to house rewarding good children and punishing naughty ones.
So what was the punishment, the coal?
Again, it's not going into that. It's just they punished them.
Huh.
And in the transformation from Chris Kindle to Chris Kringle did not take many generations for that to happen, especially with the intermarriage between the Pennsylvania Dutch and the English settlers in the New World. So again, that's a, you know, that happened over here.
Interesting.
So it's, and he was a Pennsylvania Dutch. Yeah, and so the thing is, and I think one of the things in this particular book that they point out is even though there was no communication between a lot of these countries, the description of Santa Claus or Saint Nicholas or were very similar with regards to the long white beard and a happy, generous person.
Well, and plus, if I remember correctly, they also changed the persona of Santa. And I know that you gave the time frame with Coca-Cola, but it was based on the Depression, and it was about having food and having things, and so the wealth of that. And the U.S. changed it. I understood also based on the need to buoy the spirit of the populace.
To say it again?
Well, because they were in a depression and because there was lack,
actually what it says here is that it the image of, especially the soda pop one, came out during the 20s during Prohibition. And
right,
obviously
But I heard that they made him heavier based on people not having food and not having things. And so they made him a symbol of abundance in the U.S.
Yeah, and that's a possibility, but a lot of those changes have been going on for periods of time, and it's kind of interesting to look at some of the different photos.
Right.
Yeah, but in order for me to do a really good job on this, it would take quite some time to do research where you get the perspective from each one of the individual countries as well.
Well, and since we've been doing this fascinating conversation, Mr. Jamie has joined us. Hey, Mr. Jamie, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm dialing in late, but you know,
once
played Santa in high school at an assembly.
Oh, you did.
Mm-hmm.
And how was that?
Oh, it was. You know, I remember it. I think. I had a sombrero and a serape, so I was kind of this was in Arizona, right? And I think I remember Mrs. Zeiger sitting on my lap. Do you remember her?
I do.
Yeah.
But were you
wearing
your... Yeah, a few years, a few decades.
Oh, yeah.
So, were you wearing red...
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Were you in a red suit?
I think I did have an outfit on, too.
You had the red suit with the serape and the hat.
I had to ho-ho-ho.
Oh, my
goodness.
I'm not
going to touch that one, Jamie.
Huh?
I'm not going to touch that one.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
That's my Santa Claus.
That's your Santa Claus story. So do you know, Jamie, do you know any back history on Santa since you've been listening to the conversation for a little bit here?
Not all the wherewithals, but I've kind of seen his image. The Coca-Cola one is very popular, but that was an ad man that did that. I know you all were talking, I just kind of came in.
He's
but
the soda, they call him the soda pop Santa.
Yeah, he used to look like kind of a European with a coat and a button-down coat and kind of severe-looking with a switch. He had a branch or something and a beard, I remember. Kind of biker-ish, if you think about it, if it was way back when. But anyway.
He looked like a biker?
Well, he had kind of a... He didn't have a big, white, fluffy beard. He had like a pointy, you know, like a darker beard and kind of severe.
Huh.
Anyway.
Well, maybe that's when then they call him the Black Santa, wasn't he? Some people call him Black Santa. You guys, you were saying that before, Marvin.
He didn't look very Santa-ish.
Well, if you're naughty or nice, yeah, he was making sure these kids were like going, I'm not going to be naughty, man, because that's Santa.
But I wanted to say hello to everybody, and I hope everybody's enjoying their evening.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know why, but you know, Marvin, wasn't there a time period when actually Santa was more green? Was there like a green Santa?
You know what? I can't give you an honest answer on that because I this was one of the ones on the top of the box, but I've got you know, tons of books, but a lot of them are still packed. And but I have no problem at all going in and doing some research on it, maybe being ready by this time next year.
Okay. You think it's going to take a whole year to research Santa? My goodness.
It depends.
I have a book that gives a whole bunch of different embroideries of different Santa pictures.
Uh-huh.
And like, needle points and things, and there is a green one.
Oh. You know, because I was wondering if there was more of like a making like a pan energy, you know, for Santa on some level, making it more like a nature aspects of Santa. I don't know why, but that's just kind of coming up for me.
I don't think that. I think it was just a color they used.
Okay. Well, you know, especially if you're looking at more Norwegian or, you know, more of a European kind of a look.
Well, you know, it is interesting, though, it is that the similarities all over the world and what it represents to me is and even the pictures from different parts of the world, and the way they depicted him was very similar, which is really unusual.
Yeah, well, Yeah, that just shows that there's something really to it when you've got that level of continuity.
Yep.
You know?
Well, it's the same thing with a lot of the master teachers, too. But the one thing that he did, he represented and seemed to in a lot of ways, was hope and caring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just generous, just being the level of generosity and the fact that, you know, it's like doing things without needing to be, you know, celebrated for the generous giving or service that you're providing for another.
Yeah.
You know, you're just doing it out of the kindness of your heart. So, because that's really what Christmas is all about. I heard a quote over the weekend that was really good that said, you know, every day that you come from a level of generosity and kindness is Christmas.
Yeah.
So Christmas had happened. Christmas is every day. So I was with my sister, so I read that, and I went, Merry Christmas.
Well, it is. I like it.
Yeah, from generosity and kindness. You know, we do Christmas every day, which is really true. Yeah, like it's not a matter of the stuff. It's a matter of, like, how do we treat each other? Are we kind with one another? Do we celebrate one another? Absolutely. So there you go. It's all good. So, well, I am grateful for all of you, and you're always a gift for me. So I am always, it's always Christmas on Tuesday.
And you know, there's not a thing wrong with that.
Say it again.
There's not a thing wrong with that.
No, I don't think so. I mean, thinking of
being Christmas,
we can't have
having Christmas every day. I just as soon do that anyway.
Well, and I would too. And I think, you know, it's just basically a choice. It's a decision that's how I want to walk through and have my life. Is enjoying Christmas like that every day, that level of gratitude for people being wanting to be able to come and visit with one another and enjoy each other's company. That is a gift.
Yeah, I think, you know, somehow during the centuries, or even if we take it back into the last year, you know, 100 years, a lot of, because of, I suppose it's considered progress, but a lot of the old traditions and values have been lost to more commercial types of things as opposed to, well, the things that really make life work.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it isn't complicated unless you want to make it that way. It's just a perspective. That's all good. Well, like normal, our 30 minutes goes super, super fast. Thank you, Marvin, for giving us some information on Santa. I did not know. I'm very grateful for that. And thank you, Jamie, for checking in with us. It's great to hear from you. So right. We will see you next time for our second add-on to our holiday edition, and we will talk to you here at the cafe.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.